Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. For the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and you do not understand these things? Well, very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. And if I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. So today is Holy Trinity Sunday. And I have to say, it's probably one of the strangest feast days in all of the calendar year. You see, while most other festivals are organized around a biblical narrative, usually focusing on the divine-human drama, this festival focuses on a doctrine, or to put it into plain English, a set of beliefs. Now, however odd this festival might be, I think that it is a really helpful bridge between the Easter season and this new period of time that we start today called the time after Pentecost. It's very creative, the time after Pentecost. But as Dorothy Sayers notes, this festival today reminds us that the revelation of Jesus does not exhaust the mystery of God. And so, with that, I have to think that the church, throughout history, time and time again, has tried to fully discover and articulate the fullness of God. And the church has tried to do that using things like creeds and the doctrine of the Trinity and even the Crusades. But you and I both know that these actions have been both incomplete and misinformed. And so since that is the case of this interesting festival day, I invite you to take just a quick 30 seconds to ponder or describe who or what God is to you in either pictures or words. So on the back side of your bulletin, there's a bunch of blank space. There's pens in the pew in front of you. So take a few moments and think about words or draw some pictures of who God is to you. see some of you looking at me. You know when I come down here, it's going to be one of those teaching sermons. I know. All right, I know you can do it in that amount of time. The church has only struggled with it for over 2,000 years, so you can just sum that up in 15, 20 seconds. So what do we got? When we think of God, what do you think of? Yes, Sarah. I'm going to go ahead and give you the mic.
Oh, the mic?
I know. The fans are blowing.
I put the energy of love and compassion through all beings.
Okay, the energy of love and compassion through obedience? All beings, through all beings. What else do we got? This is the point where there's no right or wrong answer.
Creator.
That's the sum of what was just said. So creator, can you say a little bit more about creator? No? So creator, period. All right, what else do we got? Trees, sky, so we're thinking of like making all things, kind of the things that we see. We can even think about things as they grow in spring, right? So God is kind of creating all of that. Augustine?
So triune, three in one.
Three in one. So yeah. We can think of three in one. What do you mean by triune? See if you can summarize it.
Okay.
I almost failed my ordination exam because of this question. So,
so God is three and also one entity at the same time. It's the Trinity, and it's complicated and weird. But he's a Father, and he's also Holy Spirit, which is kind of this essence-y thing, and he's also the Son. So Christ is both God and Christ at the same time, and so is the Holy Spirit, and they have a relationship with each other, and they love each other the most.
Yeah.
And they love us out of that relationship, from what I understand.
Yeah. Nice job. So we can think about, we've got Father, which is sometimes our creator God. We've got Son, which we can think about the essence that redeems us. And then we've got the Holy Spirit. So these are kind of the three in one and one in three, and it's very confusing. And so even those who came up with the Revised Common Lectionary readings today, it almost feels like we're kind of confused when they picked it. So let's go ahead and live into that confusion, and let's look at the very different images of God that we saw in our readings today. It's kind of like reading comprehension, right? Let's see if you were actually listening. So let's start by this. So our first reading from Isaiah, which is found in your Celebrate insert, probably on the first page if I had to take a guess. What did we learn about who or what God is in the reading from Isaiah today? He sits high on a throne, right? And so we get high, so verse 1, right? High and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. We all know what a hem of a robe is, right? So we can see this little part of my robe here. This little part filled the entire temple. This is like a really, really big version of God, right? So there's this size, right? This huge, huge size. What else did we see? We're here. Holy. So we've got this like holy, 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 and I'm going to talk more about that in a little bit, but there's this holiness. So we're going to put a pin in that, but right, who is saying the holy, holy, holy? Seraphs. What in the world is a seraph? An angel. And what do we think of with angels usually? We think of like this little tiny fat baby, right, with like little wings flying around, little Cupid. So a seraph? A seraph was actually a snake with wings, six wings on a snake. It is odd, right? Right? Kind of gross. But the important part of this is to think about there are kind of other beings that are around God, right? This angelic creature. What else did you notice that can kind of tell us a little bit about God? He sounds scary. Yeah, so he kind of sounds like overwhelming. He kind of sounds like he's a lot to handle, right? God is a lot to handle. Well, I have to say, one of the things that stuck out to me in there is we saw things. We had the seraph saying things. There was smoke. kind of like our incense, right? So smoke, and you can think about this haze throughout the Old Testament. There's this smoke that descends and reminds us of God's presence. We can think about Moses on the mountain, this presence kind of descending. In this haziness, usually we experience God, and which is interesting to me, because in haze, you can't really see all that well. If we think about the fog we had earlier this week, you can't really see all the way through it, but that's what defines God's presence, is this kind of foggy haziness. So that's interesting. So we've got smoke, we've got people talking, we've got people seeing, we've got this angel who takes a hot coal and puts it on Isaiah's tongue. So we've got touch. And all of that makes me think about how we understand our God through many different senses. Through all of our different senses, right? So, and this is what we do in liturgical worship. This is why we have incense, so we can smell, that kind of gets our senses going. We can think about the bread and wine that we taste and that we eat. We can think about when we touch one another appropriately during passing of the peace, right? Appropriate touch. We can also think about singing together, speaking, moving, seeing, hearing. You see, in Isaiah, all of this full-bodied experience, was how we come to understand God. Okay, it's hot. You want to get out of here and go outside. So second reading, Romans. What do we get about God from Romans? What do you think the whole point of this Romans reading is? I'm gonna pause on you, Augustine, and see if we can get some other voices. And yeah, okay, so there's this father figure, right? So God as this father figure. And so if we were to boil that down, I think the way that I would put it is that this reminds us, the reading from Romans reminds us of the relationality that we have. Right? The relationship that we have with God. And so that we see God's presence through and with other people. And so what is interesting to me is I get to sit down with a lot of people who like to tell me about how they're spiritual but not religious, and I think that that's great and lovely. I also think that it's way easier to be spiritual when it's just all about you by yourself than it is to be religious when you have to be in relationship with one another and you have to navigate those dynamics. And so what we see here in the second reading is that relationality and working together with those interpersonal dynamics actually express God's presence in that. So that's pretty cool. So there's Romans. Let's go the gospel from John. If you know anything about me, it's my least favorite gospel, so we got lots to talk about here. What do we find about God in the gospel of John? He's a teacher. So we can think of Jesus, right? So we got, this is really interesting, right? So Nicodemus comes at nighttime. Not in the daytime. What is he trying to hide? So he comes at nighttime. He's a leader of the Jew. He comes at night. He wants to talk, and he says to Jesus, "You are a rabbi. You are a teacher. You come from God." And then, why does he know that he's a teacher from God? Miracles or signs, right? So there's these signs. So we can think about God who speaks to us through signs. So we see God's presence in other places that seem out of the ordinary. They seem too dark. They seem not where God would want to be, but that is still where we find God revealed. Okay, so what else do we see? What about verse 14? What do you think verse 14 is trying to tell us? So, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why do you think John would talk about this Moses guy and this serpent in the wilderness? And this one doesn't have six wings like the seraphs. Yeah. Yeah. So the story goes like this, right? That Moses and the Israelites, they finally get away from the Egyptians, right? We had the parting of the sea. Charlton Heston opened it up, and then we closed it back on the Egyptians. And then they're out there, and then they're hungry, and they're thirsty, and they're complaining. That's what we do as people. We like to complain a lot about the heat in here, but if we just gave to Seal and Sustain campaign, we wouldn't have to complain as much. But so these people are complaining, and then what happens is they say, "We want some water," right? And so then what happens is they are complaining, and so then God sends snakes out. They bite them, they start dying, and so then what Moses has to do is he puts a snake, just so what had killed them now becomes what redeems them, right? Oh, woo. So then they put the snake up on this stick, and every time you get bit, then if you look at the snake, then you will be healed. Right? And so what John, I would argue, is trying to do here with verse 14 is to remind us that how we experience God is not just set here and now, but that how we experience God is connected with all people of all times and all places. It's a very expansive understanding. So if we make it just about the here and now, or we make it just about what happened in the Old Testament, we're missing the larger picture of what God is doing in the world. So it's about connecting with all people. And so if I were to back up just a little bit more to verse 10, we've gone back and forth, right? Nicodemus says something, Jesus says something, Nicodemus, Jesus, Nicodemus, Jesus. And still Nicodemus does not understand. And I have to say, for me, that's probably one of the telltale signs of when I'm trying to think about God, that I don't understand God, and that I'm probably onto something. Because I think we don't always understand God. It's so overwhelming to try to sum up who God is, to capture this expansiveness across all points of time, this relationality, these signs that we see among us, being connected with all people and present to all of our senses. How in the world do we try to just sum all of that up into one essence? So there's not much that we can do in light of all that besides cry out like the seraphs, holy, holy, holy. And the thing is, you know, in a little bit, we're going to sing in our communion liturgy and we're going to, holy, 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 just like we did. That's not what Isaiah was saying. It was more like, holy poop, what in the world, right? That's how I had to change it for kids being around, right? They're communicating this overwhelming intensity of God. It's holy, holy, holy. And in Hebrew, when they repeat something, they're trying to emphasize the intensity of it. So this is a really intense moment that's going on right now. But then we sum it all up in verse 16. For God so loved the world. And that's what it's all about in the end. It doesn't matter how overwhelmed we are or how under-equipped we feel, but for God so loved the world. So, especially today on Holy Trinity Sunday, I want to say that no matter if you agree with every line of the creed that we're about to say, or if you're even skeptical of God's presence in your life or in this place, no matter if you've been included or excluded from God's favor in the past by the church or by other people, we are reminded today that God so loved the world. And you see, it all boils down to that. That's what the Trinity is all about, the love of God. And so sure, we can sit here and imagine what God might be like. We can read the creeds and we might come to understand how others have tried to fully explain God's presence. And sure, we can come to know God more fully through Jesus. But at the end of the day, God is a terrifying mystery filled with love for all creation. So I know it's hot, but you haven't even been here in a half an hour yet. And I'm going to wrap it up. Because there it is, friends. What I want to let you in on a little secret is that whenever someone is certain that they fully understand God, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. They probably want something else, and probably it's your money, so be careful. Because here's the thing. We are all working to understand our God, who is beyond understanding. And we try really hard as a church with creeds. We try to develop doctrines. We share our individual stories, but in the end, we can do nothing more than stand in the awe of God, exclaiming, holy, holy, holy. And so my hope and my prayer for you is that as we enter this new church season, that you continue to come back here to this place, because we're going to get a chance each and every Sunday to explore the various ways that we come to better know our God. I can guarantee you that we'll be confused together. We'll be challenged by what is to come. But I know for certain that we will be sent by our God. We'll be sent to remind others that our goal is not to try to fully understand God and become God, but rather We are here to engage with one another, rooted in God's essence, which all boils down to love. Thanks be to God, and amen.